We're live from STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri, and I got my co-host, the co-host with the most. Was it really that good? Gene Jackson. How's it going, Gene?
Going well, Brian, going well. I've been excited about this one because you know I love me some Continental.
Man, me too. I always was a huge fan of Continental, and as we keep talking about it, you'll see how much I really did like it. Let me see, we go all the way back to October the 24th, 1987, and open up with, you know, one of my favorite announcers of all time, Gordon Solie. Gordon talks to us about there's going to be some tag team tournaments going on, which I think is kind of funny because we talk about it the whole show, but then we put over a singles title tournament. So I'm not sure what the hell Gordon was talking about, but we had the Masked Avengers against Robert Fuller and Gorgeous Jimmy Golden.
Yeah, so right out of the gate, we'll talk about this real quick. So the Nightmares were feuding with Fuller and Golden, and for whatever reason, I don't have any insight into this, but Ken Wayne left the area, left Danny by himself, and so top babyface Wildcat Wendell Cooley stepped in as his partner, and then in what turned out to be the worst received heel turn, only second to Steve Austin at WrestleMania 17, Wendell Cooley took a payoff to join the stud stable and became hot property Wendell Cooley. And, man, it was a failure across the board and all the towns they went to. The crowd just did not get behind it. And so what you see here is Continental remedying that mistake, and this is where they did the final part of the Cooley face turn and him making good with Nightmare Danny Davis. And I gotta say, I like the way they did it. It was pretty creative.
I actually love this. I love the old there's somebody under the mask hot tag kind of thing. I've always liked that, and I didn't see, I'm glad you informed me of what was going on. I don't remember this happening. I don't know if this might have been a section of Continental that I missed. I don't ever remember Cooley being a heel. So that might have been part of it that I was real confused at.
Right.
Because Cooley was hot as a babyface, so I didn't know what the hell was going on here. But what they did was they first had Masked Avengers out there, and Fuller and Golden. And if you'll notice, they try to call Robert Fuller Luscious Robert Fuller. And yeah, he stopped the guy and told him, I'm a Tennessee stud. So they did a what Gordon called a double duty pile driver. Which was
spike
a stunt pile
driver for the
rest
of
us. Spike stuff, what you want to call it. But he called it a double duty pile driver.
Double duty pile driver. Okay, Gordon. Drink another one.
I wonder what the fuck he was talking about. I actually did. I was commenting on it and I was typing it, but I wasn't watching it. So I went back to rewind it to see what the fuck he was talking about. I was like, what the hell? So all of a sudden we got one of the Avengers out there with Danny Davis. Danny comes out to tag with one of the Avengers. So what did we get the heat on Davis? Yeah, we got the heat on the Avenger.
Heat on the Avenger, and eventually he takes a spike pile driver.
Yeah,
And he just rolls out, and they kind of ignore that there's not a tag, and so Danny resumes. Now it's a handicap match, and then eventually, what we assume to be the original Avenger, or if I was doing commentary, I would have said, hey, the original Avenger is recovered and he's back, but Gordon kind of gave it away by saying, we got another Avenger out here, another Avenger, and eventually, Danny got the hot tag, and this other Avenger come in and ended up getting the win and removed his mask, and to the shock and surprise of everyone in the building, including Nightmare Danny Davis, it was Wildcat Wendell Cooley, and he cut a passionate promo asking for forgiveness for all his misgivings and part of this angle, too. And the reason you don't remember it is it did not stick around very long, because I'm telling you, the fans shit on this from the word go. So what they did is Wendell had took a payoff. Well, he gave the money away, and he had won the Continental title in the meantime. He forfeited the title, which was the reason for the tournament they started putting over.
Right.
And did all this to show his love and support of Nightmare Danny Davis. And when it sounded like Danny Davis was about to force him to prove himself, and then all, like on a dime, he turns and goes, "Ah, if everybody else forgives you, I will too." And they hug, and everybody was happy.
You know, the way me and you explain it, it sounds real cheesy, but I want you to know it. I thought it was awesome, like you said. I thought it was done very well. If it was done now with somebody else done it that way, it would be awesome too. It was just one of those old-timey angles, but things like this, you could really take and put on an independent show, especially a Southern independent show, and it would say, I mean, the fans would get, you know, into it big time. And something you mentioned that after you're telling me all this that you know about the Cooley thing, the crowd was so hot for Cooley when he turned his mask off, when he pulled his mask off, and then when he was, trying to get Danny to shake his hand, everyone wanted Danny to shake his hand. He had Ron Fuller out there, Doug Furness, and Johnny Rich also doing it. And then when they did shake hands and they did the old hug, the crowd popped big for it. So at that point, you knew that they got the crowd and they were doing exactly what the crowd wanted them to do. Then they had an interview that was real quick, but Davis. What happened was that they ended up, winning too. So did you mention that the Avenger and Davis pinned them? And Robert and Jimmy were the tag team champs at the time. So the tag team champs got pinned, and they were backstage with Dutch Mantel, and Dutch Mantel was trying to console them for the loss there.
That's right. Dutch was part of the stud stable, and he was trying to talk them down off the ledge. And, real quickly, to the point you just made, the crowd was so solidly behind Cooley. I feel like if Davis hadn't went ahead and let him off the hook in that promo, it almost would have been like a heel turn for Davis.
Yeah, it would. I mean, Davis is – the thing about it is, guys, if you're listening to this and say Danny Davis and Ken Wayne, the Nightmares, guys, they were over huge in Continental. I mean, big time. Ken had told me all the photos that they sold, and Davis would give him money and just wrap it up in, like a piece of paper and give it to Ken. And it would just be anywhere from, for one night, anywhere from $100 to $250. And Ken said that he was cleaning out a bunch of old boxes one time and was going through old Continental gimmicks, and there was pictures and shirts and shit in there. And then he had like $150 wrapped up in a piece of paper that was in one of those. Because he never counted. Davis was the gimmicks man. And so Ken never cared about counting how many photos they sold or blah, blah, blah. But Danny always kept a tab on everything. Next we have our famous favorite jobber of all time, and he was on one of the shows last time, Mike Jackson, in a squash match with the Hunters. Now, do you remember these guys? Because I had to look them up. I did not remember the Hunters, who actually looked like two Russians to me.
Yeah, that was my first thought, is like, how do these guys not end up being Russians, number one? I remember one of them being in Memphis as the Hunter with Bambi, that chick that was with him, as a single, but there was another guy who looked just like him. And so I tried to Google and see if I could figure out who they were, and I really couldn't find much information on them. But what I did find, they were in and out pretty quick. Like, they came in, this was their debut, and that was in, end of October. And I think they were gone by like December or something.
Well, I did find out who they were. They were Dale Veazey and Bob Brown, who who were jobbers from TBS. And they did tag together in Memphis in 86. And they were in there, I believe, during the time when Robert was in there, too. So Robert probably brought them to Continental. But you're right, they didn't stay long. I seen an interview that they did on Memphis, and Veazey was man, he was real country. I mean, they were from Georgia, I guess, and so it was just hilarious the way he talked. When you expected, if you guys take what would you say? They look like two Ivan Koloffs to me.
They did,
and they beat the shit out of Mike Jackson and his tag team partner. I mean, these guys and that Bambi girl. Good God, did they pick her up on the side of the street there in Memphis? My God, she looks horrible looking. Yeah. I was just like, how can you let someone like that be a valet,
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it's gonna make you a heel, because you know a lot of times if the valet's too hot, then it kind of turns on them. But yeah, she was rough.
Yeah, and then she was wearing some kind of wig where the right the front of her head was like looked like someone went splat, and her hair just went all over the place. It's just god awful horrible. She didn't do much outside the ring. And then we had a segment. One of my favorite guys, a Dirty White Boy, was the Alabama champion. Always one of my favorite when he was in Memphis, and also when in Continental they did so much more with Dirty White Boy. And he had with him. She was called. Was it Lady Mystic or Mystic was her name at the time?
Yeah, I mean, at one point she was just Kimberly, and then later she became Lady Mystic, or maybe I have that inverted. Maybe she was Mystic first, and then later became referred to just as Kimberly. But man, I can remember going to the show in Columbus and seeing her live, and that night she had on just like a pair of almost like a thong on, and I didn't see, and I was probably like 8-9 years old. I didn't see 2 seconds of the match. That was the closest I had ever been at that point to a nearly naked woman, and it left quite an impression on me, to say the least.
That close to a nearly naked woman, good god. Yeah, she was a good looking girl too. I seen her a couple times up close. She was very, very pretty. Kind of looked to me, reminded me a lot of Elizabeth. I know people go, well, Elizabeth was beautiful, but if you did see her up close, she looked like, I hate to say this, but she was like a second-rate version of Elizabeth. but really, I mean, she's always said hi to me when I passed her and such, so really nice girl. She later become Dirty White Girl, which I absolutely love Dirty White Girl better anyway.
I know.
So she was in a match with, well, he was in a match with Bullet. They used a cat of nine tails to start the match with, and then Bullet spanked her. Bullet wins by DQ. By the way, Bullet is Bob Armstrong, who came out to Bad to the Bone. Which
what?
Oh my God! I'm sorry.
You breaking kayfabe here. I had no idea. Oh my God!
I'm so sorry, Gene. I'm so Jesus. Sorry. You didn't know that? God.
Next thing you're going to tell me is that the mask Tennessee stud was actually Ron Fuller or some crap.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And, you know, and that's the deal was how long did he keep the mask on? He's still wearing the damn mask, right?
He needs to because he wears a god-awful toupee these days. Because the whole mask deal was he was losing his hair, and he looked ridiculous in the ring. So he would cut promos with his cowboy hat on, and Gordon would say, Ron Fuller talking on behalf of the Tennessee Stud, and he would talk in the third person like Tennessee Stud was a different guy, so that when he got in the ring, he could wear the mask, and you couldn't tell he'd lost all his hair. And if you go on Facebook now, like his Facebook page, that man has the god-awfulest, phoniest-looking toupee on that you've ever seen in your life. It's comical, almost.
You're talking about Ron Fuller, right?
Yeah, Ron Fuller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about Ron Fuller really quick, because before we go any further, that was one big motherfucker, wasn't it?
Yes. I could always tell on TV that how big he was, but at one of those shows like I was talking about, because I guess that's why Continental has such a special place for me, because that's the very first live wrestling I ever went to. And so sitting in the front row, I got a good shot of, you know, Kimberly's ass, and I also got an up close look at just how damn big Ron Fuller really was. I mean, he was huge. He was every bit of 6'9" for sure.
You know, they built him as 6'11". Here's a guy who now, after watching this, I want to see this guy up against, you know, like Andre and some of the bigger guys, because I seen Robert more than I did Ron. And so Ron was one of those guys that I seen but didn't see a lot and never saw him in person. I have seen Robert in person. But Ron was just a huge freaking guy. Tall. He towered over everyone. It was when they were doing an interview, it was him and Doug Furness. And Doug's not really that big, tall anyway. But still, he just looked so huge. So let's take a quick commercial. We'll come back. And when we come back, one of my favorite people they have an interview where they do an interview with Dirty White Boy and then the Bullet, who it was Bob Armstrong. I'm sorry I broke my fave there. We're going to come back from the commercial, and we're going to play an interview for the Bullet. And he's always one of my favorite interviews. So here, we'll come right back.
My friend, I'm going to tell you this. You may call her the Lady Mystic, but I bet her fanny's red right now, just like I said it would be. Now, there's only one royal buttocks I got to spank left, and that's yours, dirty white boy. You claim to be the champion. You claim to be this and that, but the only way you can hang on to that title is have that Lady Mystic. Well, let's don't say Mystic. Let's say the Lady Misfit come in there and spray something in my eyes, bring that cat of nine tails and whip on my back. Well, before it's all over with, boy, I'm going to spank both of you if I have to put one over one knee, one over the next one. I'm going to spank both of you, buttocks, before it's all over, and I will be the Alabama champion again. In fact, I tell you what, if you wait right there, I'll be right there. Ladies and gentlemen, this...
All right, back from the commercial. I want to make a couple of notes. We're talking about that you said Cooley gave up the belt. There was a tournament, and... I looked it up in Wikipedia. They gave the belt to, it was him and Dutch in the final. I've never talked to Dutch about Cooley, but I know he really had some good matches with Cooley when they were feuding in Memphis. I seen a bull rope match in like a little town in Blau, Arkansas, with Cooley bleeding all over the place. I took photographs and it was just an excellent match. And something that I got from Dutch, everybody wonders why they call Robert Fuller. Well, Ron Fuller was the original Tennessee Stud, and we're always talking about how big Ron was. But rumor is, the reason they call Robert Fuller Tennessee Stud is just say he was a stud. So you know the old saying, or so the sucker was big as a horse, is what I was told. So and you didn't want to be around him. So when he was running around naked. Backstage. And what was his wife's name? She worked with him.
Sylvia.
And I've heard the comment, if you'll just look at Sylvia, you'll know how big Ron was. So there we go.
Wow.
Robert was. I'm sorry. Maybe Ron was with her too.
Well, now you're making all sorts of accusations.
Yeah, I'm making all kinds of shit.
Family feud. So well, now that you mention it, now that I listen to that interview again, I can kind of hear where the bullet does sound a lot like Bob Armstrong. You might be onto something here. You're ruining my childhood, man.
Wasn't he always fun to listen to, though? He was one of the best interviews to
me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And didn't he always – didn't Bullet start wearing that mask, though, was because – I know the angle, but didn't he, like, drop some weights on his face or something?
Yeah, barbell dropped on his face and, like, crushed, you know, some bones in his face, and he had to have surgery, and he never really looked quite the same, and he also wore it for like, his nose after he had that. From what I was told, and I've heard him tell this in a dressing room in person, after that surgery where that barbell hit in the center of his face, his nose was never exactly right. And so if you look at that mask, it's really built up right around the nose, and it really worked to hold his nose in place when he was wrestling, because he could just kind of take it and just kind of move it around his face. It was kind of weird, but that was the real reason for the bullet from that point on, was so he could wear that mask to help protect his nose and his face. So if we just want to throw kayfabe completely out the window.
Just kill everything. Now, the best I can remember, this story as we're talking, I'm thinking about this, that at one time, Ted DiBiase was going to come on television. They asked Ted to actually say that he messed up the bullet's face, but Ted wouldn't do it because they didn't know whether the bullet was going to live or not at one
point. Well, it's smart on Ted's part.
Yeah. So they thought he was going to, they didn't know if Bob was going to live, so they tell Ted, get out there and tell him you destroyed the bullet. He's like, wait now. You know, hey,
yeah.
This guy's not going to live. I'm not going to say I jumped him in the parking lot kind of thing.
Not to get too sidetracked, but just because I know we're talking about Continental, we're talking about 1987, but I just want to throw in real quick, because you talked about how much you enjoyed the Bullet's promos, and I always did too. But, man, I'll tell you what was eye-opening for me, because I had never seen it back in the old days. When he came to Memphis in around like 95 and 96 as the heel commissioner from Smoky Mountain, was some of my favorite stuff he ever did. God, he was so good as a heel. I had no idea. It was amazing.
You know, that might be something that we can find it all, we'll just do that as a series, because right now I always remember the whole thing with Smoky Mountain and Memphis being just so good, and the heat being so good too.
Yeah.
And I remember them telling stories of some of the fans going Smoky Mountain fans, you know, going to Memphis and feeling the heat from that. So it's just crazy. We might go into that. Well, let's go into – he's actually a doctor now. He wasn't a doctor last time we talked about him. But Dr. Tom Pritchard goes against and this guy, maybe you remember this guy. I don't remember. He comes out to MJ's bad. It's Thunderbolt Larry Hamilton in a U.S. Junior title match.
I do. This was around the time when my dad and my friend Brad's dad started taking us to all the Columbus house shows. And it was right about the time Larry Hamilton had turned up. And I just know him from this time period. Don't know a lot about his background and where he wrestled before, and I never really heard of him being anywhere after this. So this might have been his only big run. I think he did do some stuff down in Florida prior to this. But as far as anything after Continental, I'd have to Google it, but I really don't know anything substantial that he did. But, yeah, him and Dr. Tom had a pretty good little angle there with the U.S. Junior title.
Yeah, Mantell came out during this match, which helped Hamilton pin Dr. Tom. One thing about Hamilton, he was really green. They talked about him being collegiate, which I didn't actually look that up. I don't want to do no huge research for the show. Jesus Christ, yeah. Please. But he had a hell of a punch. I don't know if it was for a shoot a punch, but man, he had a hell of a punch. Mantell always had a good punch, so I wonder if he actually had anything to do with that. Dr. Tom did an interview, and if you shut your eyes, it sounds like Piper. He loves Roddy Piper, so he does the same cadence and everything. They're talking about a tag team tournament, which I never figured out what was going on there either. You might know more about that, but Dr. Tom and Scott Armstrong were talking about the tag team tournament. They were going to tag together. Scott, the whole Armstrong family, just fantastic workers. I worked on a show with Scott, and he was just so super cool with everything and just such a good worker too. Another tag team they talked to was Jonathan Boyd, who I love Jonathan Boyd. Did you like Jonathan Boyd?
I did. I was always amused by his promos and looking back at it now, it's like, wow, he wasn't anything special in the ring, but as a kid, I always liked watching him. I always go back to with him, and I don't know if you remember this from Continental, where he came in the ring to try to cut Dr. Tom's hair, and Dr. Tom kicked his hand, and he stabbed a pair of scissors in the top of his head, and the scissors were like sticking out of his head without him holding them, and it just that image stands out in my head to this day. Whenever you mention Lord Jonathan Boyd, I either remember the scissors in his head in Continental or the snake box match with Jeff Jarrett in Memphis.
Exactly. And that was god-awful, by the way. But yes. Jonathan Boyd, to me, was just – he actually just looked like somebody that would just, kick your ass no matter what.
Yeah.
He was with Mike Golden, and I kept looking at Mike Golden and looked him up. And I had seen him in Portland. Mike worked Portland when he was really young. And then, being one of the territory guys. And then he kind of changed his look later after this. And he was more like, I thought he looked like Chick Donovan or a cheap Ric Flair for a while. So Mike worked Portland a lot. So I can always remember him not being horrible, but not being like one of those guys that you just went out of your way to watch. Robert Fuller, I always thought I liked Robert Fuller's interviews, after listening to him a couple of times, all he did was scream. So he was just getting, apparently, Ron Fuller was, they showed a clip of him getting beat by Robert so Robert could call himself the Tennessee Stud now. Was that what they did?
Yeah, because that was the whole deal with him correcting the ring announcer. Because up to that point, when him and Ron were together, he was Luscious Robert Fuller and Gorgeous Jimmy Golden and Tennessee Stud Ron Fuller. And when Ron turned babyface, they did that match where Robert, they won the Tennessee Stud moniker away from him, and they kind of feuded over that from that point on. To this day, they had shit at the Continental Reunion in Dothan like last year where those two were still fighting over the Tennessee Stud name in, 2017. It's crazy.
And I've also got top tier again. Ron was a huge motherfucker. But he was. And the thing about Ron was, if I can remember this right, he got out of the business and he bought a hockey team, right? Knoxville hockey team or something?
Yes, he did. And did well with it from what I understand. And then, you know, because he had Continental, and then he was running the Knoxville end of it as USA Championship Wrestling, and he ended up selling Continental to David Woods, and, you know, all, you know, the rest of that story, I'm sure, with Eddie as booker and all that good stuff. And then he sold USA, and he got out of the wrestling business. He had the hockey team for years. And then he tried to get back in the wrestling business in the 2000s with a show called K-Town Smackdown, and it never really caught on, and he's just kind of dipped in and out of it with these Continental Reunion shows off and on ever since.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, I didn't see a lot of Ron. I seen him in Continental, but not a lot of him. I was always Robert Fuller, because Robert was in Memphis also. Of the three guys, you talk about the trio there together, Jimmy Golden, to me, was probably the best worker of the three. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, no question. Jimmy Golden, the best worker. Ron was honestly the best. If you go back and watch the old Southeastern stuff in the studio they did, and you know, down there in I think they did that in Montgomery, I believe. Ron has just always been awesome on the mic. And like I said, Robert has known for good promos, but he did do a lot of hollering. Like, they really captured his sound and feel with that Colonel Parker character in WCW. It's really what it's like, he was made for that, you know. But they were the Stud Stable were just mega heels for years and years and years between Southeastern and Continental.
Right, and we had Ron do a squash match with the Raging Bull, Randy Barber. I never heard him called the Raging Bull. Randy Barber has been on probably every Southern, and also worked TBS, I think, as a jobber.
Yeah.
And Ron beat him like in 3 seconds. So it was really, and then all of a sudden they had Doug Furness in the ring, waiting to go against. And you know what? They advertised Jason as part of the tournament there, so I'm assuming it was Jason, but he had a chainsaw.
I was hoping I wasn't the only one bothered by that. I'm like, why the fuck does Jason have a chainsaw? Like, are we crossing up our movies now? I'm like, what is happening? And then I started looking at the time. I'm like, there's not much time left in this. And then the credits start. I'm like, oh, okay, so we're not going to have to sit through him again. Because can you imagine him and Doug Furness? Because Doug Furness was green as a gourd at the time and really wasn't all that great in the ring during his Continental run. Yeah, he got to be awesome once he went to Japan and by the time he made it to ECW. But Continental was sitting in that front row. Once again, I hearken back to that. It's where I really saw how phony wrestling was. Because Doug Furness was throwing punches that were coming closer to hit me in the front row than the guy in the ring. It was terrible.
So you heard it here. Doug Furness was the reason that Gene knew wrestling was a work. That it was Doug Furness' fault. But I think mine was, I'm not sure who was on that first show I went to. I do know Wayne Ferris was the kisser on the first wrestling show I ever went to. And Lawler had spent time, I found out later on that he's the one that did the makeup for the kisser. So, but yeah, as close as I was, and probably you were, and I talked about this a couple of times on various shows, is that I was so close to the ring that there's no way I didn't know it was a work. You know, the first time I went, I was like, oh, there's something not on the up and up here. But I hate it that I wasn't able just to sit and look at the dirty white girl like you were able to. I mean, Lady Mystic or ever what the hell she was called back then.
Changed my life.
Changed your life. There we go.
Became a man that night.
And that was before SpunkLube.com.
She could have sold some of that stuff, buddy.
Yeah, I could have. I really could. It's, you know, when you got two sponsors as Blue Chew and SpunkLube.com, I'm just sitting waiting for the wife to go out of town and, you know, party all night, every day here. So answer it. Was it really that good?
It was. I know
it was.
You know, you said that, you know, listening to us tell us, you know, tell it, it did sound kind of cheesy, and I understand that. But as I was watching it the other night, and I remembered seeing it when I was a kid, I used to record it and watch it over and over and over. I was like, it really was well done, because even as a kid that wasn't completely smart to everything, you could see the crowd was not reacting well to Wendell Cooley turning heel. And even then I wondered, like, how are they going to get out of this? Like, what are they going to do? But the way they played that out, obviously the crowd took to it, because like I said, they went nuts whenever they hugged and Danny accepted them. So it was just a really good, you know, a different way than what you were used to of seeing a turn. And that alone, I thought, made it a good show. But I liked the stuff with the Bullet and Dirty White Boy and the Dirty White Girl or Mystic getting involved. And, you know, thank God, like I said, we didn't. Had we watched Jason versus Doug Furness, I don't know that we could still say it was that good. But since it went off before they even made it to the ring, yep, it was that good.
Yeah, there we go. And I think Sully was excellent with this. He's like, we can't show this. That's a chainsaw. We can't show this on television. And so if you were watching it, you were thinking to yourself, I wonder if Doug Furness got chopped up with a chainsaw. What the fuck is going on there, you know? And like you said, I think the angle was, you know, from Memphis, you always had, and I always liked this angle, was you brought in the biggest heel. So Jerry would always bring in the heel that beat him or whatever they had the hugest feud with, like an Austin Idol or somebody, to be his tag team partner. Yeah. So this was a little different. This was done where, and like you said, and I just say, I know this is, and I know people beat this to death, but this is almost like everyone booed back in the day. Roman Reigns was a babyface, and they wanted him to be a heel. Cooley, they were not going to accept it. And guess what the promoters did? They didn't let it. They didn't stick with it. They didn't say, we're going to make the fans boo this guy. And that's what happened. They would take care of stuff like that quick because Cooley was money. Like I said, I didn't really remember him being heel, so that might be the reason. And yes, yeah. I think it was really that good. Great show, guys. We're going to put the link with the link to the show so you guys can watch it. And I'll be posting until I post it here and there just so you guys may hit it and watch it. Just a great representative of what was going on in Continental at this time and just the Southern wrestling at its finest, I think.
And there's a ton of Continental out there on YouTube. When I was a tape trader, I spent a lot of time trading and hoarding as much of that stuff as I could find on VHS and DVD. And now there's if you go and look up a person named Armstrong Alley,
right,
is the person on YouTube. They've got a ton of it on there. So I highly recommend if you like that kind of old school Southern wrestling, go check it out. It's good stuff. I watch it all the time just for nostalgia reasons. And I feel old when I watch it, but I love it.
Yeah, he's on Twitter, too, and he mentioned the other day, which I thought was super cool, he's put over 100 Continental shows up, and Ron Fuller actually followed him and thanked him for doing that instead of trying to sue him.
Nice.
So that was really nice. All right, guys, remember, same bat time, same bat channel, on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there and love my mama. Thank you, Gene. By the way, how's your mom?